Anuncio. Este programa tiene palabras fuertes como butthole. Escuchando lo demás puede ser peligroso para los oídos. Gracias por escucharnos.
All of my life I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous, get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Oh my God, you're so obedient. Did you hear that? Hey everybody, welcome to Bonnie Storytelling!
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I am sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and I can't believe I'm saying this, y'all. This is episode 100 of the podcast. You exceptional human being, I hope your week is going well. I have been giving a lot of thought to this week's episode, not just this week, for a long time. I never thought we'd make it to this point. I started the podcast in 2013. I didn't like what I produced, and I promptly gave it up. Back in 2016, I tried again because I like podcasts. I was like, it's perfect. It's a perfect medium for what we do. And it means that the stories that I produce on a stage can go out to the entire world. It really did change my life. The emails that I would get telling me that that story, how it made you feel less alone, how you thought you were the only one, where you didn't know anybody who talked about these things, and you couldn't believe there were other people like you. All of that made me go, podcasting needs to be my life. Not just a room in San Francisco with hundreds of people. It needs to go out to millions of people. And it has. But I hit a point where I was dealing with deep, dark depression, a loss of a family member, some technical difficulties, and I gave up. I didn't give up entirely. I knew I would return to it. But it stopped for a long time. And it was really disconcerting, the number of emails that I got from people who said, you don't realize how much I need the Body Storytelling Podcast in my life. It's my favorite podcast. The day that it comes out is my favorite day of the week, and I need that to look forward to. I need to hear these stories. I got back to it, and I feel like it's gotten better. You know how you have that perfectionist in your head who was always saying, it's not good enough, it's not good enough, it could be better. Why don't we wait until we can make it better? The one in my head is loud. And the great thing about producing a live stage show is, even though the storyteller wants to keep working on it, and even though I'm like, it's not quite there. Night of show, wherever you are, that's what you put on stage. And that deadline has been good for me, because otherwise I would get mired down in the world of, I know I can make it better, so let's wait till then. Then you don't produce anything. You just sit there stuck inside your own perfectionism. Episode 100 is an episode that I wanted to be perfect. I've been thinking about this for months, and nothing felt just right. Nothing felt good enough. I listen to the people who get on my stage, when they walk off stage, like, oh my God, That was such a high, but I felt like if I had an extra couple of weeks, I could have made it the thing I dreamed of. And I really relate to that problem. So I started thinking, is there a moment that I've had that I felt content with what I put on stage, with the final stories? At every show, people who've been going for 4 years, for 7 years, from the very beginning for just about 13 years, at the end of the night, I had people going, that was the best body I've ever been to. That was it. That was the one. And I always try and not wrinkle up my face, not scrunch it up and go, really? Really? You thought that was the best one? Because it never measures up to what's in my head. I decided for episode 100, it should be the stories, the night of stories, that I walked off stage when people went, that was the best one. That was definitely the best one I've ever been to. It's the only time, I think, in this entire history of this show that I stood there, did not scrunch up my nose, and went, I think you were right. I feel really good about that show. That night is going to be the Kinktacular show that we did back in Folsom that you heard me talk about a few months ago. I was riding the high when I recorded the podcast right after that show because I felt so good about the stories. I felt so good about that sold out night, how people who'd flown in from all over the world were just blown away that this thing existed. Episode 100 is going to be part one of the Kinktacular show that we produced the night of Folsom Street Fair back on September 29th. Folsom Street Fair happens every year in San Francisco. The world's largest kink event happens in September in San Francisco. And that's when all those people, high off of being around 350,000 people, 500,000 people at a street fair, being their authentic, freaky, perverted selves. All of those people, well, not all of those people, came to the Verdi Club to sit and enjoy a CBT or an ethical slut or a unicorn's butthole. Those are cocktails, by the way. And come together in story. This episode is Kinktacular Part 1. And I hope you like it. One last thing before we get into stories. It's not one last thing. It's three last things before we get into story. I was reading something about podcasting this morning, and they said that 1 in 4 listeners gave to support their podcast. People support the causes they feel are important. And I'm going to ask you to go to patreon.com/body and support us at any level. Any level helps. I'm an artist, and you supporting me as a patron, that's what keeps this thing going. It could go away at any time. I love it and I don't want it to. But if you go to patreon.com/body and you support us, that's ongoing support to make sure that this podcast keeps rolling out every single week. If you'd like another way, you can support us through Zelle. You can support us through PayPal. If you want to do a one-time donation, that is great. And I appreciate it so much. That's one thing. patreon.com/body. Second thing is, we just released our first merchandise. It's not what I thought it would be. I figured everybody starts with t-shirts and tote bags and all those things, but I had this incredible opportunity to work with a perfume company called Sucre Bay. And don't ask me to spell it because I can't. It is impossibly French. But they ask me to create a signature scent. And for the last month or so, I've been getting packages every other day with new fragrances for me to choose. And we have a new fragrance. It has this cartoon of me on the front of the bottle that is just, I love it so much. And I've created my first perfume. And it is called Body Got Me Laid. Because, you know, I think it would. I think when they lean in and they get a whiff of this, you are going to have a busy night. It's pretty much non-gendered. It smells wonderful. If you go to bodystorytelling.com/merchandise, you can see a description of the scent. We also have body butter. Ha! We also have hair and body oil, and we have Body Got Me Lube. So if you've ever wanted to smell like body storytelling, this is your opportunity. Go to bodystorytelling.com/merchandise. And I can't believe this exists. It makes me so happy. Final thing, you're going to hear some of the voice memos that I have asked listeners to send to me. I've picked just a few because this is a long episode, but you're going to get to hear what body storytelling means to people wherever they live. You know, you listen and you wonder, do I know other people who listen to this thing? Hear what the experience is like far away. People who've been to the live show or people who will never make it to the live show. You know, I just really wanted y'all on the podcast. And so I picked just a few for this episode. We'll probably have a few more for next week's episode. You're going to hear voices popping in that are not mine. You're going to hear more or see links in the show notes to our new line of perfume and body products. And yeah, support us on Patreon. That's it. Let's talk about stories.
Hi, Dixie. It's Blake. I don't know if you're still taking these or not, but it takes me a while to get my thoughts in order. When I was 20 or so, I went to my first convention. It was a horror convention, and while I've never been as well-versed in horror as many of my friends, it felt like coming home in a way. Being among people who were just as strange as I was. Body storytelling is like that for me. Ever since I found it, living where I do in a mostly southern rural community, it can get very lonely. But once a week, Body reminds me that there are people like me out there in the world. Strange, sexy, adventurous people who are willing to put themselves out there and see what happens. Body is like home. Thank you, Dixie. Thank you.
She was on the main stage at Folsom earlier today. She's been a part of Body Storytelling for 6 years now. And so many of the songs that you heard on stage at Folsom, you heard here at Body Storytelling first. It's very, very important that you break this building in half. And please welcome to the stage, Rachel Lark.
Everybody, what's up? Okay, this is like a night of Dixie's favorites. So, normally I like to save the song for the end because it's a little much. But you're all warmed up, so fuck it. All right, here we go. Who could enjoy something warm, gold, and wet? How much more disgusting can one man's mind get? I'm so mortified. And I hope I forget that this ever took place just 'cause I lost a bet. This is stupid, I tell you, and unsanitary. But pleasuring you is this burden I carry. Okay, okay. I get you're impatient. You still gotta wait for the stream to be nascent. Oh my God, here it comes. I'm peeing on you. Hee, this is silly. Can't wait till I'm through. Oh my God, gross. Some got on your mouth. Wait, did that actually make me aroused? Now look at you. You're all soaking wet. You dirty little whore. This is just just what you get. If you want any more, you better show me you know how to beg. Well, I really didn't see that coming, and now I see it in a different lane. In fact, I'm a whole new woman. Stay the fuck down while I chug this Sprite. I'm sick of you pushing my limits, and I'ma take it out on your face. I'm peeing all over your mustache, so tell me how does it taste when I pee on your mouth. Pee on your mouth. Good. It's just, I just have to say quickly, I performed with interpreters before, and usually they get the song ahead of time and like have a chance to learn them. So I just want to applaud our interpreter one more time for rocking the shit. All right, the story continues. Where were we? Oh yeah, so she peed on his face and she's like, whoa, this is really hot. This is a lot. Okay, here we go. Good morning, sweetheart. I hope you've slept well. I've been up for a while. You can probably tell I've been doing some research. I found some neat facts. Don't get up. Here's some fruit juice. Sit back and relax. I see there's a BDSM munch that we should attend, and on Wednesday, a party I would recommend. Here's a book about paraphilia. Ours is called Urelania. It's real. Yeah, they say that it's safe if we start midstream. Apparently, we should avoid meat and cheese. Can you believe it? Even whitens your teeth. What's that? Sorry, no coffee. We should avoid caffeine. All right, let's get started. Finish your juice. Oh, wait, where are you going? Don't waste that, you douche. Why are you walking away? Please don't slam the door. Well, I really didn't see that coming, and now I see it in a different light. In fact, I'm a whole new woman, and I'm starting a whole new life. I'm gonna get me an account on FetLife. I'm gonna pee on someone tonight. I know that he's out there somewhere, and one day I'm gonna make him mine. It's sweet, you know, mossy and subtle. It'll make your plants grow. The taboo is strong, but so is the stream. Finally, I can have my own wet dream. And I'm amazed that I let so many bladder movements go by. Making love isn't always just a fuck. I could be humiliating some poor schmuck. Well, I really didn't see that coming, and now I gotta figure out just how to open up my own dungeon and call it urine trouble now. 'Cause I feel like a whole new woman, and the world is my toilet tonight. And if anyone out there's judging, maybe your pelvic floor is just too tight. Maybe it's just too tight. Maybe it's just too tight. Thank you.
I smell good right now. You want to know why? I am wearing Native deodorant. They're a company that creates safe, effective products with cleaner, simpler ingredients. Native can keep you smelling good all day long. Less is more, so you know and can pronounce everything that's in Native's deodorant. They use ingredients found in nature, such as coconut oil, tapioca starch, shea butter, and there's no animal testing either. They make products that people use in the bathroom every day, products with trusted ingredients and trusted performance. Native comes in a wide variety of scents, enticing natural aromas like lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, and a ton more. Right now, I'm wearing Native's coconut and vanilla scent. And they also release new limited edition seasonal scents throughout the year. Plus, they also offer an unscented formula and baking soda-free formula for people with sensitivities. Native has over 1,000 five-star reviews, so you can check out what their customers have to say about their products too. And they love what we're doing here at the Body Storytelling Podcast, so they have created a special offer for our listeners. Right now, you can get 20% off your first purchase. Just visit nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code Dixie during checkout. So why not give them a try? There's no risk. They offer free returns and exchanges in the U.S. if you're not completely satisfied. Y'all, you need to take care of your body. It's the only place you have to live. Visit nativedeodorant.com. Use the promo code DIXIE to get 20% off and free shipping.
Are you excited about your first storyteller? That's exactly what I want. When they get on the stage, when they get off the stage, give them so much love that they know y'all are the right people. Our first storyteller is a masochistic bottom who encountered a man on Craigslist who was naked and he really wanted to serve a women's book club in the nude. So she founded a book club so he could do that. She is the founder of the Badass Babes Book Club. Please welcome to the stage our first storyteller, Cerulean.
My friend Jake sends me a video, and it's titled, "The Pair of Balls Everyone Should Give a Squeeze." In it, it's just a woman on the phone. She's having an upsetting phone call. So she slams on the phone, she reaches underneath her desk, and she squeezes these foam stress balls. They're pink, and they're in the shape of testicles. And I understand this is a humor, a comedy video, but my brain jumps on that and goes, that. I want to do that. And so, but none of my partners are interested in this. So I jump on FetLife. I assume everyone in this room knows what it is, but those who don't, it's a social networking site for kinksters by kinksters. And I just go on and I search for the term ball busting. And I find a group called Ball Busting. And so I go in, I start looking at all the posts. People are sharing videos, people are sharing pictures. And honestly, when I'm looking at it, like, I don't like them. The videos are, a lot of them are focused on like the power play, and I'm not into the power play. Like, I can't find the play in it. And there's also a lot of it is humiliation, which I understand is hot for a lot of people, but I feel bad for that person. So, and then the pictures are a little bit, I find it kind of hard to look at. It looks painful. Like, there are balls that are being squished between two pieces of plexiglass. It looks like a microscope slide. So, I'm like, how safe is this stuff? So, I go onto like the forum and they have a health and safety post and I read through it and I feel really reassured because it tells me you can put an entire 22 volume encyclopedia set on a pair of testicles and they won't get damaged. And so I'm like, oh good, my hands aren't gonna pop them like eggs. It'll be okay. So safety is addressed. But now I'm left with the question of, how can I do ball busting when I can't stand to look at the pictures or the videos? And it's because at this point, if my partners haven't been vanilla, they've been tops, so I've always been submissive. And I would like to play with more people, so I'm trying to become more versatile. And anytime I get the chance, I try new stuff to do, like piss play, I try that. Turns out it's neither erotic nor disgusting to me. I've tried encasement with food play, which meant I put someone in a garbage bag and threw food at them. And then now, so like, I wanna try ball busting because every time I give a blowjob, I honestly just want to reach up and grab those balls. They're right there. So, but I don't know how to proceed when I can't like look at it or watch the videos. But then I do find one video I like. And in it, I like it because both the person doing the busting and the person getting their balls busted are laughing. They're both having fun. They both look like they're enjoying it in different ways. And so like that is what I'm looking for. And so I moved to the personal ads section, and that's where I find Alvin. Like, Alvin's ad's really simple, just like, hi, I'm in San Francisco for a business trip, and I would love to do ball busting with the women. Whether you're a seasoned professional or you're just curious about this, please reach out. And I really like his ad. I like how inviting it is. And when I go look at his profile, he says the same thing. He's like, I've been doing this for a really long time, and I love it, and I would love to discuss it with someone. So please message me. And I do. I send him an email, and I just message him like, hi, Alvin, are you still in San Francisco? I'm really curious about ball busting, and I would love to do it if you're still in town. He writes back to me. He's like, hey, sorry, I'm back in Boston. Like, what are you looking for? And I tell him, what I'm looking for is just something light, something fun. I like to laugh with my partners, and I just want everyone to have a good time. And he responds like, yeah, me too. Like, I don't take kinks super seriously. I love talking about it. And for me, it's just about sharing experiences and interests and exploring them together. I love to laugh, and I communicate a ton. And I'm like, oh, good. So we exchange emails back and forth. And then 3 months later, his work is sending him out on a business trip again to San Francisco. We agree that I would meet him at his hotel after work. So I'm sitting in the hotel lobby at the Sheraton Hotel in Fisherman's Wharf. And I'm just thinking, I wonder what he looks like. We haven't exchanged any photos. Like, the only pictures on his profiles are pictures of his balls getting busted, like, between two pairs of books. So I have no idea what he looks like. He does mention, like, I have a beard and all my friends tell me I look older because of it. And I'm like, okay. So when he comes out of the elevator, like, I see him coming towards me in his, like, bonobos collared shirt and jeans. And I think he actually looks like Tom Hiddleston. Like, he played Loki in the Avengers, but not Loki. It's what he looks like outside the movie. Like, tall, slim, brown hair, green eyes, beard. And so he takes me up into his room. We get into the elevator for the fourth floor. And for a split second, as I'm in the elevator, I'm thinking, should I really do this? Like, what if I hurt this guy? I have no idea what I'm doing. But then another little voice pops in and is like, but that could happen. But what if you just have fun and he enjoys it? And I'm like, okay. So we get into his room. We have him undress. And like, oh, Alvin, can you get on the bed? Like, what's the best position for this? And he decides, like, he will be sitting on the bed facing the room with his back against the headboard and his legs wide open. And then I go and sit between his legs, fully clothed, and he's naked. And then I look at him a little awkwardly, like, how do I start this? And he goes, you can slap me. And I'm like, okay, so first I just cradle his balls. Like, they're low hanging, so like they fit nicely into my hands, and they're warm. And then I move, and I change my cupped hand into an open hand, and then I slap it. And then I slap it again, and I'm just like looking at it, and it's like, it looks kind of silly. Like, his balls are moving, his like penis is moving, it's bobbing along. And I just look up at him like, this is fantastic. This is so much fun. And he looks back at me, he smiles, he's like, you know you can punch them too. And I'm like, okay, I can try that. So, you know, make a fist, and I punch them. And then I punch them again. And then I punch them again. And it's great. And I look at him, I'm like, this is wonderful. I'm so happy right now. Like, the sound is fantastic. The fact that I can feel your balls against my hand. Like, I love this, Alvin. And so we continue, and then I'm starting, like, I pull my whole body into it. So I'm starting to sweat, and I'm taking off, like, my clothes, throwing them on the floor. Like, I'm down to my bra and underwear. And then I start squeezing his balls just to see how long I can do it for. And at one point, I realize, I look down, and I'm like, hey, Alvin, is your penis turning white? He looks down. He's, like, nonchalant. He's like, yeah, it does that. Like, just the blood's not getting back to the penis. It's okay. You can keep going. And keep in mind, I still have my hands on the balls. I'm like, okay, they're your balls. You know what's healthy for them. So I'll keep going. So I just keep squeezing them as hard as I can. And eventually I'm like, Alvin, I need to take a break. Like, my hands are white too. So I let loose of them. I shake out my hands, try to get some blood back in. And he's getting his breath back because, you know, when you're in pain, you can't really talk. And he has a request for me. He says, hey, when I tell you to stop, can you keep hitting me? And I say, no. Like, we agreed before this that we're going to communicate and our no would be a no and our stop's a stop. Like, I'm not comfortable going past that because I don't want to damage you. And it's important to me that I don't damage you. And so he's like, okay, he thinks for a second, a minute. And he goes, okay, then how about if I tell you to stop and then you keep hitting me 4 to 8 more times? And I'm like, yeah, I can do that. Like, that's, I can do that. So we go back in. I do gentle, I do hard. I, like, wind up my punches and I go straight in. But sometimes I, like, tease him. I also, like, wind up my punches. I'm going straight in. And then I pull it the last second. And it's just a nice little breeze over his balls. And so I build it up. And then eventually I just start, like, hitting him until he finally, like, throws out his hands, goes, stop. And I'm like, that's nice. That's not what we agreed to. So 1, 2. I look up. He's flushing. His face is turning red. 3, 4. I can feel sweat dripping down my chest. 5, 6. And then I tell him I'm done. My hands are tired. I'm finished. And so I tell him, can you lay down the bed? I go to the bathroom. I run some hot water. I put a washcloth under it just for some warm water. And I come out and I wipe down his penis, his balls. And then I just wipe him down so the sweat's off. And then I throw the towel on the side of the bed. And I ask him, hey, can you turn over onto your side? Because I'd really like to cuddle you. Like, it helps me feel better afterwards, and it gets me back to my head and back into my mind and just back to earth. And so we cuddle on the bed. And then I get up, I put back on my clothes, and then I leave. And as I'm leaving, I just feel really, really good about this because this really opens my eyes to the possibility of what I can be in the kink world when I'm not feeling like a sub, but I'm not like those tops and doms that you see modeled for you where they're like stern, they know what they're doing all the time, and they act that way anyway. And that's not me. I have no idea what I'm doing, but there's people like Alvin out there where they love their kinks and all they want is to do it with someone.
Dixie, you asked for voice messages for whatever secret project you're working on, period. And I guess I just want to say thank you for body storytelling, period. It's strange to say that a podcast can change your life, comma, but the thing I love about body is that I'm one of thousands of people that have said that to you, comma, and I think what you do for us and for the world in general is an amazing thing, period. I've been able to connect with a community and tribe that I enjoy being in the company of, comma. And you've made it possible for me to accept myself and love myself and be unashamed of who I am and what I want, period. Being part of the body storytelling world has given me friendships, given me flirtation, given me connections that just make my life better in general, period. I love having a reason to go to a storytelling event every month, comma. I love having a reason to dress up in my favorite sexy things and play bingo and be unafraid of being who I am, comma. And I love that you do that for all of us. Thank you so much, period. Body storytelling is one of my favorite things, and I am forever grateful, period. You're a rock star, period.
And before I introduce your next storyteller, I wanna tell you about the games that you're gonna see when the lights come on in the back of the room. I like to create fucked up games. And I have pulled out a lot of my fucked up games for you tonight. After Folsom, I know you want to be able to connect with other people. So we have Bango, which is your way to get somebody to write their name on your card so you get to flirt with them. And we also give you amazing sex prizes for doing that. Because I know if you don't get laid, you're going to want toys. We also have OK Pervert, which is like Craigslist, except it's analog. Everybody's here in the room. You're not in the wrong section. You're not going to go, oh, yeah, let's fuck. Oh, you're in Denver? How the fuck did you get into my part of Craigslist? Whatever you want, write it on the front of a bag as a personal ad. People respond to that by putting their response inside the bag. Here's a pro tip. Remember to check your bag because you got responses. And also, you might want to write your phone number in your response or something like that so that you can keep the party going after the show is over. My final bad idea game is one that came about when I had a sex worker in the show years and years ago. And I always tell the performers, you can just tell me if you have books for sale or porn for sale, or just let me know. I want to give you space. I want to support you for being in my show. I'll give you a table. The sex worker said, can I sell my used panties? And I'm like, well, if the venue asks, the answer is no, but fuck yeah, you can. So she sets up a table, all these dirty panties in Ziploc bags, with a little sign that says, used underwear, $10 to $40 sliding scale. That's the most San Francisco thing I've ever seen in my life. And she sold out minutes. Also in that show was one of my favorite storytellers who was Gold Star. He'd never slept with a woman. And I see him walking by with a pair of dirty panties in his hand. And I'm like, Matt, what's that? And he said, you know, my husband is an opera singer and he's on the stage tonight and he couldn't come see me tell a story. And he's bisexual and he slept with women, and since we couldn't do stories at body tonight, I thought I'd buy her panties and take them home and we'd sniff them and he'd tell me stories. And I'm standing there with a passel of like 10 people. I'm like, oh my God, that's so beautiful. Can we smell her panties? We're all going, yeah, cinnamon. Oh, smell this. God damn. So, you've been at Folsom. You're sweaty, right? All you got to do is go into one of the bathrooms, shuck it off, put it in the Ziploc bag, sticker, pink, blue, or lavender, however you identify, the numbers on the bag, the numbers on wherever you want to put your number. So that means somebody gets to go over there and go, and then they go find you. It's one of my favorite bad ideas. The bonus of that is you're running around commando for the rest of the show. Right? I probably shouldn't encourage this sort of behavior. But, all right. I'm so excited about the next storyteller. He's an expat who refuses to become an ex-porn star. He loves storytelling so much, he's worked in a, he's worked into a career now where he does visual storytelling. And he really is one of my favorite storytellers in all the years I've been doing this. He's one of my favorite storytellers ever. Please welcome to the stage, Dolan Wolfe.
Bear with me. Good evening. I've told three stories at Bawdy so far. One about sex in a bathhouse, two involving fisting. Tonight I'm switching things up. I'm telling a story about fisting in a bathhouse. Before I begin, I love San Francisco. San Francisco. And we can be a little bit smug about how progressive we are, especially around sex. You know what I mean? Hello, I'm Sir Snooty Boots. That's my boy, this is my slave, and over there annoying those perfect strangers is my pup, Fuckwit. So, to be clear, I'm super grateful, and I know privileged as all hell, to have lived this story and to be up here telling you it tonight. I'm not telling you this story because I think I'm so special. I know I'm a lucky fucker, and I just hope that this story encourages you guys to have as much fun as you possibly can. So, with that said, I'm also very lucky because I'm married to a gorgeous man called Mark who looks a bit like Dave Bautista, the ex-pro wrestler who's the beefcake autistic guy in the Guardians of the Galaxy. Though not so much mean looking as though he thinks it's your fault. I love him to bits. He sat over there. I love you. This story's not about him. This story involves, speaking of incomprehensibly annoying polyamory, my husband's ex-boy who has accidentally become my second daddy. Jeff. Jeff looks a bit like another pro wrestler, Triple H. Yes, I have a type. If you don't know what Triple H looks like, the main thing you need to know is that Jeff has a kind of resting, I want to murder someone face. Which probably comes from the I want to murder someone fantasies that he has. He's sat over there somewhere, but don't worry, you're perfectly safe as long as you don't look directly at him. Jeff has, with a little bit of help from me, become, in the last couple of years, a ravenous fist pig. And he's been enjoying fisting me so much and seeing how much pleasure I get from it that he's started to train his hole for my fist. My evil plan is working. Nothing. The other thing I should tell you about Jeff is he loves wrestling. He loves pro wrestling. That's probably partly why he looks like a pro wrestler. In fact, for a long time, Jeff genuinely didn't think he was gay, but he was worried whether it was normal to like wrestling as much as he did. True story. He was once part owner of a wrestling ring. He's still, at the age of 40, is regularly wrestling with the SF Grapplers, the gay wrestling group in San Francisco. Jeff and I went to IML in Chicago in May this year. And if you don't know, IML stands for International Mr. Leather. It's like Miss World, but gayer and with more drama. Over IML, thousands of gay men and other people pack out a hotel in Chicago for guys to wear and play in all kinds of kinky wear, leather, rubber, sports gear, pup gear, pony play stuff, furries, my favorite hybrid of all, stormtrooper up to the neck, furry headpiece on top. uh,
And there's so much going on at IML all the time. There's the contest, which some people are all about and some people completely ignore. There's the market, which is kind of part shopping, part socializing, part cruising all day long in the hotel. And then outside of that, you've got huge parties at clubs, you've got smaller parties going on in hotel rooms and you know, private places, and everything in between if you know the right people. Jeff and I arrived in Chicago on the Thursday evening, and we didn't really have, we only had one concrete plan, and that didn't really involve IML. It was to join a mutual friend in a wrestling ring on the outskirts of the city, so Jeff could get beat up pro wrestling style. Now, unfortunately, Jeff was still getting over a chest infection, so he didn't have the stamina he would have liked going into the wrestling match. He still got thrown onto thumbtacks and barbed wire and had his balls stapled to his ass and his head sliced open and then punched so that it would bleed all over his face. And I think he had a really good time. But he was a little disappointed he wasn't in better shape to take more. So I was thinking, you know, it would be really nice if we could sort of make that up to him by fulfilling a fantasy we both had of him fisting me in some kind of sex party or, you know, public environment where we could be seen. And as you know, Folsom people, at events like Folsom and IML, there's so much going on all the time, it can be really, really hard to work out where you want to be for the experience you're looking for, right? Where you need to be. Is it going to happen there, or would it happen there? Is there people going there? So Saturday night rolls around, and I'm going through that whole thing. But I'm you know, trying to stay open to possibilities, but I'm fairly sure that our best bet is going to be to go to Steamworks. Regardless of whether or not we get anywhere close to our fantasy, that's probably where the most possibilities are going to happen. So off we go down to Steamworks. And Steamworks is a bathhouse, gay bathhouse in Chicago that is massive. It's on four floors. There's over 100 rooms, private rooms. There's, you know, glory hole mazes, all kinds of sex furniture all over the place. There's a fully functional, great gym. You know, it's an amazing place. So Jeff and I go to Steamworks, and it's so busy. There's a waiting list for rooms, and the only place we can, you know, they can find us a locker is on the third floor. So up we go, and we change into jock straps and towels. And our first sort of port of call, place to explore, because we're on the third floor, and so is the gym. So we go in there, and it's completely empty. No one's come here to work out this evening. It's also fully lit, you know, and there's a 1 foot high stage in there because we know that they sometimes do sex shows there with a fuck bench on it. And I said to Jeff, well, you know, if we can't find anything else, there's always that. So off we go, we explore the rest of Steamworks. And it's slow going because the place is bulging with men, lining the corridors, standing in doors to rooms, hoping to pull someone in. And Jeff and I are, you know, open to catch a spark of some kind, but nothing's really happening. You know, maybe there's just too many people for the right energy to breathe. And it gets to a certain point where I think the only way this is going to happen for us is if we make it happen for ourselves. So let's go back to the gym. You know, we can use that fuck bench. We'll go from there. So we get back to the gym. We put our stuff down. We start kissing and connecting. And now, you know, we're not thinking about anything else. The desire kicks in. Jeff says, you want my fist in your ass, boy? And of course I bloody do, but it's still nice to be asked. and also made complicit in something that's still quite scary given how fucking huge Jeff's fists are. So I climb on the fuck bench, and, you know, big hands usually takes a while for Jeff to you know, relax my hold enough to get in there. But he's barely got four fingers in me when the lights change to stage lighting, which is to say dim for the gym and mood lighting pointing at the stage. And we don't know if the CCTV can see us. We don't know if this is a signal to us, whether it's to encourage us or scare us off. But Jeff carries on playing with my hole, and we're both fairly verbal. So, you know, he's saying, you know, you want my fist in your hole, boy? Sorry, it's a terrible accent. I'm saying, yes, sir, good boy. And, you know, it's not very original, I know. But it's enough to pique the curiosity of people just outside the gym. So a few guys wander in. So now we've kind of got an audience. And that adds something to the scene, and, you know, that's exciting. So, you know, I increase the volume and... thank you, sir, every time Jeff gets his fist back in my hole. But there's a fine art with exhibitionism. You know, you want to remain authentic. It's okay to amplify, you know, what's going on. But you also want to stay connected to your partner. So it's okay to break the fourth wall and go, I can see you watching me get my ass fisted. Yeah. But you want to stay connected to your partner. And so, you know, I'm doing that. I'm trying to, you know, think about how this feels. And it feels fucking amazing. It swings between being more than I think I can stand and everything I want. And I'm using mindfulness practice to both be aware that the audience is there and feel that. Mindfulness. And slightly tune them out as well. And, you know, so that, that they're sort of there, but they're not there, right? And you know that famous scene from the Hitchcock film The Birds, where Tippi Hedren sits down on a bench outside a school with her back to a climbing frame. And the way the scene starts, you know where it's going, but the way it's cut, you're still shocked when all of a sudden the climbing frame is filled with crows. So it's a bit like that. All of a sudden, the gym is filled with men. Like, must have been already 100 people watching us, 100 guys. And I've done actual, proper, organized, planned sex shows with less than half that number of people watching. And I'm hoping this isn't too much for Jeff. But I'm also thinking, you know, we've got to go for it now, you know. So, you know, I'm saying, thank you for punching my cunt, sir, as loud as I can. And then, without warning, we hear, would patrons please note that the sex show will be starting in the gym in 15 minutes? And I'm thinking, fuck it, the sex show's already started. So, okay, we both know we might have to wrap this up a little sooner than we planned. So about 10 minutes later, I can sense Jeff is trying to make me come by the way that he's fisting me and playing with my cock at the same time. And I don't know if you've ever come whilst something the size of a small chicken has been pumping in and out of your ass. But let me tell you, you make a lot of noise. And... with me, it tends to be non-verbal or sub-verbal, kind of like... So I've no idea what the audience made of that noise. But when it was clear that our portion of the entertainment for the evening was over, we got a huge round of applause. And for me, that's what IML is about. Validation. No, not validation. No. Having an experience so fucking wild and crazy and hot that you couldn't have anywhere else, and you absolutely couldn't plan if you tried. I think Jeff and I were both really happy that we'd fulfilled our fantasy of him fisting me with an audience with fucking knobs on. We both probably would have liked to have gone on a little bit longer. But you know what they say? Always leave the audience wanting more.
Hey, Dixie. I just wanted to give a big thank you for everything that you and Body Storytelling have done for me. Because without you, I wouldn't be able to masturbate. I know, simple thing, most people do it, but for the longest time, I just couldn't. I was mortified of touching my own body. But thanks to Body, I moved past that. I heard all of these amazing stories of people coming out of their shell and exploring their sexuality and, most importantly, conquering their own fears and finding their own enjoyment at the end of the tunnel. And I heard those stories and I thought, I want to be where the people are. I want to have fun too. So I conquered my own fears, thanks to you. So, if you'll excuse me, I got something to take care of.
This episode is sponsored by Hashtag Open, the sex-positive dating app for the open-minded. If you're looking to make new friends, for dates, for hookups, or relationships, Hashtag Open is unique in that you can create a solo profile, a partnered profile, or both. And if you identify as kinky, as polyamorous, as LGBTQIA, a swinger, monogamous, straight, gender nonconforming, you name it, Hashtag Open is a place where you can truly be yourself. They have more than 20 options for gender and sexual orientation to choose from, and just as many options for relationship styles. And Hashtag Open donates $1 to Planned Parenthood for every new profile created. So go to hashtagopen.com/body and start making authentic connections today. Attending a live body storytelling show is a chance to feel less alone in the world. It's a chance to come together in a room with other people who are more like you than you think. So here is your next chance to feel more connected and less lonely in the world. This week on Wednesday, December 4th, we're in Seattle. The theme is the Naughty Bits. I think I'm going to give you guys a few chances to put your name in the hat to get on stage and tell your own story. Because the last time we did that, it was surprising. It was really amazing what I learned about the audience because it wasn't a curated experience. It was me discovering what the story was going to be at the same time as the audience. We don't do that very often, but I think it's the holidays. So let's try that in Seattle on December 4th. Before I tell you the last show of the year, I want to tell you my friend Jack Seifert of Subversion Productions in Chicago is producing The Butt Cracker, a Nutcracker burlesque. Well, it's called The Butt Cracker, so you know I like that. It's a sex and body positive take on the Nutcracker, and it's going to be held every Thursday in December at the Den Theater in Chicago. And this year, they've added a new component to it for VIP attendees. It's called Clara's Holiday After Party. It follows the Butt Cracker each night at 10:30. And it's an opportunity to celebrate the holidays with a thing called the Butt Cracker. I'll have a link to tickets and more info in the show notes, but it starts this week on December 5th. And it's on Thursdays throughout December. So if you're anywhere near Chicago, this is your opportunity to attend something sex and body positive near you. And then my last show of the year is going to be on Wednesday, December 18th in San Francisco. The theme is the best gift ever. And it's kind of like a pervert holiday party. We have a room full of, you know, usually there's a bad Santa or two, a racy game of spin the dreidel, back on the bingo table. It would be the best gift ever if you were there. So there'll be a link to tickets for all of these in the show notes, and you can always find them at bawdystorytelling.com. Time to stop for a little while. We'll be back next week with the second half of our Kinktacular show. But before I go, I want to say thank you to the people who make this podcast possible. Thank you to project manager Dana Hanna. Thank you to sound engineer David Grossoff, to video archivist who has created videos of the stories that you got to hear this week. We'll have those posted for you very soon so you can watch the show as well as listen to it on the podcast. And most of all, thank you to Marty Garcia for putting this episode together, for being a podcast producer extraordinaire, and somebody that I love working with. When I think of things that I'm grateful, like this has been all about grateful this week, but when I think about grateful, I think about Marty. I love the work he's putting out in the world. I love the way he's sending these stories out to you. He is a superhero, y'all. and I hope you let him know that you appreciate his work too. If you're in the Body Storytelling Fiends and Fans group on Facebook, or you can find links to Marty all over the place, you should let him know that he is doing an incredible job. I'm thankful to you. I'm thankful that you're listening. I'm thankful you're going to tune in next week so that you can hear the second half of this show, because the second half is just going to blow you away. Stuff happened in that show that I just sat there and went, did that actually just happen? So thanks for listening. I am sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. This has been episode 100 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. Here's a peek at what's next.
The idea of being tied up and put in water tanks and having pressure hoses stuck up in all your holes was just the coolest fucking thing you could possibly do. And I had this pipe dream in a way of... Ha, 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 yeah!